Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Well, good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. We're still trying to shake off the mood that Southern Utah kind of has been in for the last week or so with the all that happened last week, but it is Mayor Thursday, and Mayor Chris Daley is here fresh off the plane. I don't know, probably 2 days ago, right, Chris?
A few, yeah.
Yeah, welcome back. Chris, his family is, his ancestry is Swiss.
Yes.
And you were in Switzerland, yes?
For 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks.
Wow.
And this time we went a little bit into France where I served my mission. So we hiked around the Alps and had a great time until...
You speak French? That helped a little?
Yeah, yeah. So most of Switzerland speaks German.
Right.
But there are areas where French is the language. And then, of course, that's right on the border. And so we went from kind of that southern part of Switzerland over into France. And we had a great time just kind of trucking around the Alps, my wife and I. And
very cool. You were like Swiss Family Robinson, right?
Well, we...
Or Swiss Family. What were the name of the family in Sound of Music?
Oh, yeah, the Von Trapps.
Von Trapp family. There you go.
Von
Swiss
Trapps.
Family Von Trapps.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my 18-year-old who graduated. Still her all-time favorite movie is the Mary Poppins and also Sound of Music.
Sound of Music, yeah.
And I think it's because she's such a big Julie Andrews fan.
Of course, yeah. Who doesn't love
Julie? Timeless, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you went there on a little vacation. I remember last time you went there, you kind of looked up the old Staley family, you know, ancestry and home and everything, right?
Yeah, and it was amazing because the original home was built around 1500.
Wow.
And it's still...
There's
so
nothing here.
You talk about old. Old has a different meaning in Switzerland. And then, you know, what's cool is my wife, her maiden name is Graf. And so that her family heritage is from the neighboring canton. And we were able to connect with some of her living relatives and find kind of the Graf home site as well. So it's interesting you have kind of these Swiss families that converted to the church and moved, immigrated to America. But what's interesting is these different families were plucked up from all around Switzerland. They didn't know each other until they kind of gathered and trekked together.
And something in common, something very big in common.
But yeah, that Swiss heritage has become important to us, and we just we like to go over there and just kind of, it just feels right every so often. Of course, America's home and we love it, but we can relate to and connect to some of our ancestors there.
My buddy went to kind of same as you. He went to Geneva, Switzerland on his mission, but he spoke French and his whole mission he was French speaking, not German. So
yeah, and that's kind of the primary area we were in this time. Zermatt, Chamonix. Mm-hmm. We went through Geneva. Then we went over to a city called Montreux, and then Gruyère, if you've had the cheese.
I've had the cheese, yes.
So those are kind of the French, so primarily the French-speaking areas, a little bit of German-speaking.
Very cool, very cool. Well, welcome back to the United States. Unfortunately, toward the end of your vacation, you got some news, and it was pretty sobering news. Tell us about your kind of your personal, kind of what happened when you found out everything that happened last week.
I was thinking to myself, if we had the conversations on air like you and I have off air, we actually just kind of have an ongoing conversation. But in this situation, we were 8 hours ahead in a city called Annecy, and it's they actually call it the Venice of the Alps because it has this Lake Annecy and these canals. But we were 8 hours ahead, just kind of enjoying an evening there on a terrace in a restaurant. And
it's you, your wife, and your daughter?
No, just my wife.
Oh, that's right. You sent her to school, and the two of you.
Literally the day she started at college, we were like celebrating being empty nesters, and we thought, let's go on a trip. But we're sitting there, and then it's one of those moments, Andy, where it's like you remember exactly where you were on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And for me as a runner, I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news about the Boston Marathon bombing.
Right.
But this one was so different because it hit so personal. My oldest daughter, she's a recent SUU grad and works on staff at UVU.
Oh, she was there.
And so her and some of her coworkers had gone to, in fact, she had texted me before, "Hey, Dad, you know Charlie Kirk, you know?" And so, and then she just expressed that he had an event there. And I said, "Oh, that's cool." So I knew she was going, and they were there, and then they had repositioned themselves to get a little bit better view. But in the meantime, we're sitting there at this restaurant, and I get this text, and it says, "There's been a shooting." And then right after on that thread, "I'm okay. We're leaving campus." So you call, but we call, but she doesn't answer. She's scrambling. Eventually we get through, and it's just surreal to hear that. You know, at that point, you have to remember, they didn't know if there was still danger.
Right.
They had to leave everything, and she hopped in with a coworker. But it was just kind of the time stopped, and you just felt so fragile, and I felt so helpless being, the other side of the world. And here's my girl. Yeah.
Wow. Unfortunately, then the more we found out, the kind of worse it got for those of us that live here in what we believe is paradise, right?
Yeah.
Southern Utah, that the person that committed this atrocity was from your city.
Grew up in Washington, was living in St. George at the time, but honestly, it's a Southern Utah. I mean, there's so many connections. I mean, in fact, I remember telling my wife, I said, "No way that the assassin, that this shooter is from Utah.
There's no way.
This isn't who we are."
That's what I was thinking too when I first heard.
And so I think it was a day and a half later, and then I get a text from my daughter and from Jordan with the city, and both are saying, "Hey, here's what we're hearing." And this is right before the press conference,
right?
And I can't even tell you how sick I felt. I mean, up to that point, when we had a little bit of TV in the hotel room or whatever, trying to watch the BBC, and then, there were a couple of, newspapers even there that had, Charlie Kirk's image, right on the front page, and right. it was just crazy.
Did you, I guess you couldn't really cut things short or anything, right? You were just there, helpless, and...
No, but what was so interesting is, so again, we're 8 hours ahead, and by this time we're back into Switzerland because it's a day and a half later, a couple of days later, I guess. And the news breaks that he has ties to Southern Utah, that his family lives in Washington, he grew up in Washington, etc. So I'm now scrambling trying to communicate with my staff back home on how do we respond to a crisis event. And of course, our city manager and Jeremy and public relations officer, legislative affairs director Jordan, they're putting together a press release, and we're trying to think, how do we respond to this? In the meantime, my phone and my email are blowing up. I mean, everything from the New York Times to News Nation to TMZ, and they're all wanting comment. And I just kind of sat back, oddly removed from the situation, and thought, what can I say?
Yeah.
What can I add to this? And so, I mean, they're even texting, my kids trying to get in and trying to get some comment, some scoop in.
Yeah.
And ultimately, in council with my great staff there, we just decided that our press release was our statement. And then behind the scenes, Chief Williams, our job then was to protect the family and go through the process in coordination with state and federal authorities. It's been surreal. Can I just tell you, and I don't mean to speak too much here, but what was so interesting to me is when you're a mayor of a city, you fulfill this duty and this responsibility. Like, you just have a different affection for your town.
Mm-hmm.
And so when something like this comes out, it hits you really hard. It kind of brings you to your knees. Right. But I can't tell you how much I appreciated just while I'm getting inundated by national press, mm-hmm. I'm also getting like texts of support from like just friends from around the county. Senator Curtis reached out a couple of times. I mean, and just in genuine, and I can't tell you how much I always kind of felt like I didn't need that support, but honestly, just to know that I was buoyed by, you know, Kevin Trevor from Hurricane, that we were on the waterboard district together. Just texts from people and, hey, we're thinking about you. We care about you. You know, we're strong. This doesn't define us. Like, these things were so helpful in the moment.
What do you think, Chris, this young man who grew up in Washington City, who went to Pineview High School, what do you think changed in him? I mean, we're just speculating. We don't know the answer. But in your mind, I mean, we went from normal Southern Utah kid to what he turned into. What do you think happened?
Yeah, it's crazy because you think about, I went to Pineview High School. Your kids went to Pineview High School.
Yeah.
I mean, you know those neighborhoods. You know the opportunities for, like, youth recreation and scouts. And you know the quality and caliber of the community. And so how do you grow up in this environment? And then at some point, not only do you tip, but you tip to this extent that nobody could even imagine. Right. I mean, I was talking to Lieutenant Klotz last night. I just popped into the Planning Commission meeting a few minutes last night just to kind of watch what was happening. And Lieutenant Klotz says, hey, other than, like, a minor traffic violation, there is no criminal record on this kid.
Yeah.
So at some point, you know, we know that Utah State for a semester,
right.
and then leaves. But at some point, there was, like, an engagement of relationship or engagement with online social platforms. But at some point, this is just me speaking as Kress. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, I think there was some sort of rapid radicalization and like kind of some weird protective measure against maybe some of what he might feel like is a disenfranchised faction of society that led to this just crazy, you know, you look at maybe what could have those outside factors been, these, you know, these algorithms that ramp up and feed, you know, are there these gaming platforms that desensitize? Are there these,
I would say yes, but yeah.
Are there these relationships with gender confusion that just nobody really, you know, the broad majority of society doesn't understand what's going on? And we see in a small sample size some really crazy things happening when there's, you know, gender transformation. I mean, I just can't imagine how it flips so swift. And his parents are great people.
Yeah.
Great people.
I have, you just dropped your daughter off at college. I have two daughters in college right now. They're both married, which I think helps a little bit. But should parents be now worried about sending their kid off to college, considering what seems to have happened to this Robinson kid? I mean, you hear the stories all the time. Kids get radicalized at college. I've heard stories. I've seen things. I've seen video clips of professors going, your parents are stupid. Don't believe what they believe. You think on your own. I've seen clips from college professors saying those very things. Should we be worried, Chris?
Well, I think what we have to remember, too, is the frontal lobe is still developing.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
It develops slower for these boys and these young men. And maybe in some cases they are lonely and isolated and trying to make sense of an online digital social network that we didn't ever, couldn't even dream of what a cell phone was when I was a kid. But they're growing up with so many different pressures. But I don't know what this indoctrination or this radicalization point comes. But I've got to believe that over the last year or so, or whatever that time period is, something flipped. And I don't know what those, I mean, I have some ideas on what those external pressures could be. But it's kind of like, you know, we talk about living in this area that sometimes I call a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, and I like the bubble.
Yeah.
But sometimes people, when they're in the bubble and they haven't, you know, been exposed to other things, when they're exposed to it, they have no boundaries with it. And instead of going kind of gradually, it's just like they drop off the edge.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case here, but I've seen it with you know, others like substance abuse and things. I don't know.
I have a story on our website right now on 890kdxu.com, and it's about, I was a little bit shocked when I started doing some research on this. There's a new poll out, and it is basically, it asks like 2,500 people, which is a pretty good sample size, and it asks their political affiliation and if they consider themselves very liberal, moderate, conservative, or very conservative. And it found that 25% of those that consider themselves very liberal, that's one-fourth, Chris, mm-hmm. consider violence okay for political means. One-fourth of very liberal people consider that okay. And I'm just like, wait a minute, what went wrong here? How can they think that's okay? I think most of those very liberal people who grew up in pretty good homes, maybe even conservative homes, and they've turned that into thinking it's okay. I mean, we've seen numerous examples, Chris, of people endorsing what happened. It's scary.
Yeah, it's never okay. Yeah. And it's an affront on all of these principles, these rights upon which America was founded. Yeah. You know, free speech at the core of that. I mean, freedom. And so to think that because I can't intellectually with my words have a respectful debate or conversation to find, you know, a path forward,
right,
I'm going to resort to violence to silence someone that doesn't agree with me rather than try to, you know, seek understanding. It just, I don't know. We have so many different pressures that I think take the humanity out of us. I mean, I like to be able to sit with a person and look at them eye to eye, you know, look into their soul a little bit. But when you start to become so heavy in your ideology and so entrenched in that you can't, you know, and maybe you justify it with the fact that I have the moral right here, or I care and this other person doesn't. But how does that moral high ground then do a 180 and flip to the exact opposite of that? You right. lose all credibility.
Well, one of the things that Robinson reportedly texted to his roommate was that when the roommate asked, why did you do it? He said, well, because of the hatred that Charlie Kirk has, some hatred can't be negotiated out. And the irony of that statement was, do you realize you have just done the most hateful thing a human can do? You've killed another human being, and yet he's accusing someone else of hate. It's unbelievable.
And so I don't know the effect that some of these influences have to desensitize
right.
people, but we've got to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing about the situation is just being oblivious to the fact that there were 3,000 people there. I mean, his wife and children,
yeah.
students that we send our kids off to college. These are young freshmen who are, you know, just at college-age kids that are there at the event. Now they've all witnessed something tragic. I mean, going back to my daughter Josie, she was, you know, they wasn't able to go back to work for the rest of that week, home, but was just kind of emotionally a mess, has a good support system, but a mess. When she went back on Monday, she said that, you know, they had the FBI there, media was still heavy presence there, they had counselors. She said, and honestly, Dad, I went down to kind of the student center, and they had, you know, the FBI guys with their blue polos and their khaki pants, and then they had some with, and they came from all over the country, from different states. And she said, I didn't know what I needed, but I knew I needed some help. And they had therapy dogs. And she said, and I walked over, and there was this golden lab named Taz. She
nice.
Said, wow. Dad, it was a 2-year-old. He said, it just knocked me over and licked me. And she's like, I think the healing is going to begin, but I am going to have some counseling.
Do we, Chris, now is this the kind of... I think that you were talking about those moments that you'll always remember. For me, a couple of big ones from my youth were President Reagan being shot and the space shuttle blowing up.
And
I think both of those things changed me a little. Is this a kind of event that is going to change us? And if so, how? In what way do you think it'll change us?
As you're looking at chills on my arms.
Yeah, goosebumps, yeah.
You know, I think there's power in the name Turning Point USA. To me, this has to be an inflection point or a turning point where we learn, agree or disagree with everything that Governor Cox says, but I will agree with his term to disagree better. We have to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, ironically, just, you know, days before this event, I shared a Time Magazine article from Russell M. Nelson that talked about everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. So if there is a turning point in our society, let it be back to avoiding violence, finding commonality, and disagreeing better, seeing the humanity in one another.
Yeah, well said. All right, we're gonna take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the Washington City and where Mayor Saley represents and some of the things that are happening in Washington City. But I don't want to leave the topic that we're on completely alone and talk a little bit about maybe, you know, along with disagreeing better, maybe we need to do a little better job at preparing our kids for stuff like this. I don't know if that's the answer, but maybe. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Andy. Crest Daly is here. He is the mayor of Washington City. He was not the mayor. No, he was still the mayor, but he was gone for a couple of weeks. And does it feel good to be back? Did you slide right back into your role, Crest, as the mayor, getting things done?
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, Councilman Ivy, he's mayor pro tem. And
nice.
He did a great job. He conducted the council meeting that I missed.
You didn't leave your checkbook behind for him, did you? I'm just kidding.
No.
Well, cool. Now, you've been mayor how long now? Is it three?
Yeah, almost 4 years now.
4 years, yeah. Nice.
And, 6 years on the council, two years on planning commission.
It will be eight because you are running unopposed. If you can get your wife to vote for you, you're in. Right? I think a few people will vote for you. Probably so.
You know, my recorder actually said, hey, mayor, you know, technically we could just, you know, do this by acclamation since you're not running, there's no opposition to you. Okay. But I said, you know, I think there's something to be said about still marking a, you know, having your name on a ballot and marking
a
box. So
yeah.
I said, I appreciate that, you know, Tara, but, you know, let's keep the name on
the
ballot.
Let's do it. I am no longer a resident of Washington City, so I can't vote for you, but I would vote for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I would definitely vote for you. And, of course, you've been working with my wife for all the years you've been involved in the city as well, and she does a fantastic job, and is amazing. And I'm told, my wife is retiring, by the way, I'm told that the current city manager is not going to, he's going to kind of parcel it. It's going to take like five people to do her job, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and that's for sure.
There's no doubt. We talked extensively about how do you replace someone like Shelley Griffin, and we came to the conclusion is that you don't.
You don't, yeah.
I mean, she's irreplaceable.
I couldn't replace her.
For sure. I told Jeremy to slow play it. You know, don't let her go until, you know, take as long as you can in letting, you know, we would keep her around forever, but if she's made that decision in, you know, 30 years.
Well, kind of the funny thing about that is she didn't, so there were some fairly recent people that retired from Washington City, and they were actually, they had a calendar, they were counting down. She didn't want anybody to know, and so she told, like, I think the city manager and maybe the HR person, and before you know it, people are coming up to her and going, so you're retiring, huh? She's like, wait a minute. I didn't tell anybody. How is...
Oh, yeah.
And now it's on the radio.
It's a wildfire.
I'm probably going to be in trouble later.
It's a wildfire. But I can't tell you how much we appreciate all of the years of service from, you know, from the courts, from our justice court.
Yeah, 25 years in the court.
Down into, you know, really that administration, running so many things, handling so many things before... you know, anybody even knows about it, and not knowing about it if we don't need to know about it. I mean, she's so efficient and remarkable, and you're a lucky man, and you get to keep her, and we don't.
Well, funny story about my wife and I. So when the first decade of being married, if you got to call so and so and make an appointment, or you got to call the insurance company, you got to call whoever. Neither one of us wanted to make the call because we're both it's funny, I'm on the radio, but we're both somewhat introverted. And neither one of us wanted to make the call. And so stuff would come up and I'm like, you're going to call him? She's like, I don't want to call him, you call him. And I'm like, I don't want to call him, you call him. Well, her whole job now as the executive assistant to the city manager is calling people. She called. I'm like, man, have you changed from when we were first married? Because she'll call anybody anytime now.
Well, and you have to be careful if you even hint at like something that needs to be done.
Yeah,
I mean, it's done it's before it. You yeah. finish the sentence.
It's yeah, it's amazing. So, all right, let's talk about the city a little bit. You have made no secret about that you wanted to turn downtown into a more walkable, more pedestrian, maybe people-friendly area.
Yes.
You are just a little bit into that project now, but tell us what your plans are, and then are we making progress on those plans?
Yeah, so I have some exciting updates, and it's been cool because I think for your listeners, we've talked a little bit about the process over the last few years, right?
We have.
The idea, and then what we call the assemblage or acquisition of the properties. And then we talked about how we send out what kind of a hybrid RFP or RFQ request for qualifications and proposal. Well, where we are now, and what we're talking about is the intersection, that cross-section of Main Street that goes, you know, north-south with a new Main Street I-15 interchange, and then Telegraph, which goes east-west. So the city hall and Veterans Park is on that northeast quadrant or, you know, corner.
Right.
We own the other three corners. Now, the post office is going to remain for a while, but we acquired that.
So to help people orient, you own the post office kind of kitty corner there.
Yes.
Across is the old Nice and Variety.
Yes.
Well, that's where it used to be. Now it's a kind of a food truck park.
Yes.
And then the old Nice and Grocery Store on the other corner.
The entire block of the Nice and Grocery Store. And the entire frontage from where Quentin and Gwendolyn Nyson's home was, past the hardware store, all the way to the other side of the block on 100 East, where Cuba Lyle's home was.
Okay.
So we own that whole frontage, and then we own the post office, and then the old Kendall home south of it. But those were not part of the post office and Kendall home were not part of the RFQ, RFP. The Nyson grocery block and the frontage from the Nyson home and hardware store.
Right. Okay. Now you said you have exciting news.
So here's where we are. Progress, at least. We had much interest, and ultimately we had five applicants respond to the RFP. And
now, will you explain, before you go on, explain what that is? You own the land. You're still going to own the land, but you put the RFP out for people with ideas of what they want to do with it?
So what we're looking to do is cities, we have an interest in having a quality downtown.
Right.
We have an interest on not having a blighted downtown. That's public good interest.
Right.
We don't have an interest in competing with the private sector.
Okay, that's so good. That's American.
So what we're doing is looking for the right partner with whom we can, to whom we can transfer, that we would sell them the land. And they would build the project.
Oh, okay. So you would,
but we would partner together on what that project looks like, and that's the plan.
So basically, you want to kind of have a say as to what goes there, because you don't want just anybody coming in and putting, you know, whatever.
We want to design it together, and owning the land allows us to do that. And we think that we have an interest in that because it is the downtown of our city.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back generations, there was commercial operation there. Yeah. You mentioned the hardware store. You mentioned the grocery store that sat vacant.
The burger place.
The burger place Telegraph was widened by UDOT. It was taken out. But even prior to that, there was the White House Motel. There was...
Oh, now you're going... I don't remember that. That must be way back.
There was even more commerce. So this isn't, you know, foreign to Washington's downtown. But we're talking about, live, work, places. Mm-hmm. So we had the five respond.
Right.
Myself, the city manager, and I've included different times part of the, you know, administrative team. We met with each of those five, all very capable, very reputable groups, but we eliminated two.
Okay.
Just based on kind of initial conversations. Yesterday, we have a committee. One of the things that mayors can do is they don't vote, but they can make committee assignments. So we have a very effective, it's called our Downtown Economic Development Committee meeting. We had a meeting yesterday where we interviewed three separate groups for 1 hour about their proposal, essentially a job interview to partner with the city to design the downtown with the public input.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that's done, and this is critical, that's why it was an RFP and RFQ, is that once that design's done, I said, look, this can't just be theoretical. It can't be just a college exercise, you know, could we do this, and then some design sits on the shelf. I said, the expectation is that by meeting with the city, working through entitlement, working through what pencils for you, what works for us, we're then able to take this vertical in a timely manner. So that's the goal, is not just to design it, but to design and build it.
Do we have a winner then? Is there one, or is it still three?
So I'll be honest with you, any of the three are totally capable. So what it will come down to is preference. Okay. And this is what's really cool is we didn't have much conversation after the interviews yesterday, but we had some. And really, I don't know where it's going to go.
Oh.
We had three really qualified, but you're talking about teams of, you know, architects and planners and, you know, financing and builders. And so they're assembling a team that would partner with the city in order to take on this project. But ultimately, what will happen is this committee of about seven or eight, something like that, will make a scoring or a recommendation within the next few weeks. They'll come to a conclusion, a majority conclusion. That committee will then, through our economic development director, will then make a recommendation to the city council, who will ultimately approve the partnership. But at this point, it's, you know, any of the three could be selected.
Did you come into that meeting excited? Were you, like, pretty fired up? Like, all right, this is going to be good?
Well, really excited, because I took the initiative to, interview them each before bringing them again to the committee.
Really?
And it was so interesting, because they all have different strengths. And so at some point, I think just ultimately the entire group, I think, is going to say, we feel like this is the best fit. But honestly, I wish I could give it to all three of them, because they're all so well prepared and capable. But at some point, a decision's going to have to be made, and those are hard when, you know, you can only give it to one group.
Is it going to be, and I know at this point you haven't decided yet, but do you think it's going to be something that's like a mixed-use type thing with stores and then also living residences?
Yeah. So what I like to call it is flex space, or kind of live workspace. Mm-hmm. And I could also, so I could, there's got to be some housing, and housing element. And personally, I like ownership. I like condos better than apartments.
Right.
I think there's different level of care for things that are owned. And certainly, we're going to need to go vertical. I mean, do we go, you know, three stories? Do we do more than that? You know, what is the right scale? How do we placemake? How does that, you know, how do those buildings front Main and Telegraph? How does the pedestrian interact? What is the role of the car? Where is the parking? But yes, I could definitely see retail office along kind of those first levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could see housing components on any, higher levels.
The, recently they approved an apartment building up on Tech Ridge. And a lot of people didn't like it because I think it's supposed to be five stories,
mm-hmm.
which is, for St. George, that's pretty big.
Right.
Do you see any pushback from Washington residents if you say, well, we're going to go four stories or three or five or whatever it is?
So that's a big part of this conversation is, you know, while me as mayor, the council, we're elected by the people, really we represent the people. So I think what we'll have is community engagement. So we, ultimately we'll select a partner, but we will have open houses for the public to come in, and we might have some, you know, conceptual ideas of what this could look like, but we are going to welcome and take that feedback from the public as we design. And I will tell you that from my standpoint, it's got to be to scale, right? And I think we can recognize that, you know, we're Washington. We need to kind of know who we are. We're a suburb. We're not the epicenter of the county. And so we want it to, whatever the size and scale and ultimate use and design, it's got to be attractive and complementary to, you know, the old school and the Veterans Park. And it's got to fit the brand and identity of our community. Right. As our living room going forward. So, but definitely the public has got to have their input.
All right. Exciting stuff. I would love to fast forward 5 years or 10 years from now and see what that all looks like in 10 years.
Well, and what was interesting is I was at Utah Tech yesterday for the ribbon cutting for the presidential statue garden. Mm-hmm. By the way, President Smead doing a great job. The statue's there. Lincoln, Einstein, Martin Luther King Jr., Franklin, Washington. It was a great event. But I talked to, you know, former representative and current VP at the university, Brad Last. We got talking a little bit about the downtown. He's like, hey, I wish Hurricane would do something like that. And I said, well, we have the advantage of and disadvantage that it's kind of a blank slate and blighted. I said, but right now this is just the priority. And but he said, yeah, maybe Hurricane could do something like that too. Yeah. I don't know. I have my own problems.
We'll pass the word on to Nanette. But we do need to get a commercial break in. On with Mayor Staley today here on the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine here for a second. It was, I would say, 15 years ago, I was doing ball games here on KDXU, and we got a new sponsor. It was a guy by the name of Cress Staley with State Farm Insurance.
And Farmers.
Farmers, rather. and I remember, like trying to figure out how to say that. I mean, it was, I knew Staley and Cress is different, but it was spelled out. It was easy to say, but I remember thinking, that's kind of an odd name.
So odd. And even an odder person.
But I appreciate you sponsoring sports back then and being a part of things. I know you really, really love local sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course now it used to feel like that Pineview High School was the high school of Washington City. But technically, Pineview is in St. George. Now you have a high school that is in Washington City. The ironic thing there is Pineview still gets most of its students from Washington, and Crimson Class, which is in Washington, gets a lot of its students from St. George.
You know, as a parent, can you love one child more than another? So we love Pineview. We love Crimson. And you know what's happening next week? With Pineview, right?
Yeah, it's a homecoming, right?
Homecoming and homecoming parade.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not fond of homecoming because, as a sportscaster, that just means a really long halftime. Yeah. They get them on the convertibles and they drive them around the track, the royalty, and they have the announcements and they have the band performs and the dance team. So when you're in it's a 14-14 game and you have a 23-minute halftime, you're like, But I do appreciate homecoming. In fact, my high school class is having a reunion this Friday night. I'm busy, but they're having a reunion. I can appreciate roots, right?
No, it's cool. And we had, you know, Brett Gifford, new principal there at Pineview, doing a great job. We worked with him and his student council there we actually had them present to the city council and ask for ability to shut down Telegraph for their homecoming parade.
Yeah, nice.
And of course, as with the Main Street interchange, and as we grow, that becomes more and more
a big deal.
It puts a lot of pressure on our staff. Yeah. But I was grateful that our staff's willing to step up, and we love Pineview. They're going to have that homecoming parade next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, a week from now.
Six days, yeah.
And they'll have a little gathering at Veterans Park afterwards.
Are you going to be in the parade?
Yeah, in fact, we moved
throw some candy and
we canceled the workshop, moved the regular meeting to 4 o'clock, so that myself and the council will be in the parade and we'll be supporting our, you know, Panther Pride, Circle Black Forever. We love the Panthers, and of course I'm a Panther, you know. And then I had some kids with Desert Hills and Crimson. We love them all.
What year did you graduate from Pine Beach?
Class of 93.
93. So the school was pretty new back then.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even 10 yet. I moved here in 94. So, yeah, but, anything else? We've got, 3 minutes. Anything else Washington City-wise that you wanted to make us aware of?
No, I just, again, I would just emphasize that from our city and from our greater Washington County, Southern Utah, Dixie community, you know, one tragic and heinous event like we've experienced, it doesn't define us.
Right.
And I just, the community is in my thoughts and prayers, and I just think that, together we'll rise above this, we'll learn, we'll grow, and, it's just tragic, but while it happened here, and we own that, it happened from here, we're better than that, and I hope that nothing like this ever happens again.
Well, on a personal note, Mayor, I wasn't brought to my knees, but I felt the hurt that came from something like this coming. I was with you. I was like, when it first happened, I was like, well, it's somebody from L.A. came in, or somebody from Austin, Texas, or somebody from Detroit or something that did this. It's not a Utah person. No way. Well, we were wrong.
And I think it gives us, all of us need to, introspectively look at ourselves and, how are we doing? How are those in our circles doing? And what adjustments need to be made to prevent something like this from happening again?
And it's maybe we'll spur some conversations at family gatherings or whatever. Say, are you okay? Let's talk about this.
We are our brother's keepers.
Yeah, exactly. We should be. Yep. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So, Mayor, we got a minute left. Tell us a little bit about, besides the RFQ, RFP downtown, is there any, blazing concern right now in Washington City that's on your mind?
Winco has got their permit application in, and also for those outbuildings. If you drive on Buena Vista Boulevard, they're moving a lot of dirt for more commercial pads there.
I noticed that.
The Hyatt Place is opening up back up for their building permit on Exit 13, Washington Parkway, and so. RS Southwest Logistics Center, don't blink, you're going to see these massive buildings down by the airport. Just really good things happening. And, of course, Veterans Day is coming up in November. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, very cool. He is Chris Staley, Mayor of Washington City. Chris, it's always fun having you on and talking about Washington City. It's pretty exciting to think about what's happening downtown and the potential involved there. It's weird. It's like playing a little game of SimCity, right? And you got, okay, we're going to zone this, but you guys have a lot more say in what comes in instead of just zoning it and hoping you guys with that, you have a lot more say. I think it's going to be fun and exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks, folks, for listening today. Chris is going to buzz on out of here. He's got meetings all day long.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you.
All right.
We'll be back tomorrow. Open lines tomorrow.
Goodbye, everybody.